Praise God. Amen. Tonight we're in Daniel chapter 1. If you have your Bible, Daniel chapter 1. Praise God. We're going to stay as close to that first chapter as we can. Amen. Here's our title: A Made Up Mind Will Bring You Victory Every Time. A made up mind will bring you victory every time. Look at somebody and tell them that. A made up mind will bring you victory every time. Doesn't matter what you face, whatever you have to go through, you're going to have a made up mind if God's going to bring you through. Amen? I want to share just four points with you that have to do with this first chapter of Daniel. And I want to begin just by reading the first few verses. We're in Daniel chapter 1. And we don't have Living Bible available to be put up on the screen. And I'm reading from the Living Bible tonight. So I think they'll show the New Living Version. And I'm going to read from the Living Bible. So it'll sound just slightly different. Is that all right? All right, Daniel chapter 1, starting at verse 1. 3 years after King Jehoiakim began to rule in Judah, Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem with his armies, and the Lord gave him victory over Jehoiakim. When he returned to Babylon, he took along some of the sacred cups from the temple of God, and he placed them in the sanctuary of his God in the land of Shinar. And then he ordered Ashpenaz, who was in charge of his palace personnel, to select some of the Jewish youths bought back as captives, young men of the royal family and nobility of Judah, and to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. Pick strong, healthy, good-looking lads, he said, those who have read widely in many fields and are well-informed, alert and sensible, have enough poise to look good around the palace. The king assigned them the best of food and wine from his own kitchen during their 3-year training period, planning to make them his counselors when they graduated. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were the 4 young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. However, their superintendent gave them Babylonian names as follows. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. Verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind not to eat the food and wine given to them by the king. And he asked the superintendent for permission to eat other things instead. Now, as it happened, God had given the superintendent a special appreciation for Daniel and sympathy for his predicament. But he was alarmed by Daniel's suggestion. I want to make 4 points tonight about Daniel. He was quite an amazing young man. And, you know, one of the things that this chapter reveals to us is what God does and what God desires for one of his children, he'll do, and he desires for all of his children. And in this first chapter, we see unusual circumstances happen. And here's my first point to you. God gave special advantage. That's the first point. God gave special advantage. And what do you mean by that? Back at verse 2, I want to read verse 1 and 2. 3 years after King Jehoiakim began to rule in Judah, Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem with his armies, and the Lord gave him victory over Jehoiakim. Now that don't sound right, does it? I mean, when you read that here, the king of Judah is attacked by a Babylonian king, and God gives the victory to the Babylonian king. That don't sound right. That don't sound scriptural, does it? Here, God allows Jerusalem to be taken captive. And not only that, they took Daniel and they took them from Judah. They took them as slaves, essentially, and they took them more than 500 miles from their homeland as slaves. And Daniel and these youths, they were living a royal life. They were living in the royal palace. They were in line to inherit a very good life. But here, the Bible tells us clearly this special advantage, it don't seem right because God gives the special advantage to Nebuchadnezzar instead of giving the special advantage to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. So why is that? That doesn't sound right because the thing that's going on here is that God, he gives this advantage to Israel's enemy, and he had promised to protect Israel. He had promised to fight Israel's battle. The Lord was the one who was always leading Israel out into victory. And so this just wasn't supposed to happen. But the reason God aided and abetted Israel's enemy is because of Israel's disobedience. Throughout Israel's history, they followed a cycle of disobedience. Then eventually, they would disobey God, and then they would fall prey and victim to their captors and their enemies, and then they would eventually cry out in repentance, and then when they would repent, God would forgive them, God would heal them, and then God would go deliver them again. And then you know what God would do after that? He'd fight their battles after that. You say, what's your first point telling us that God gave a special advantage? Let me tell you this, it matters how we live. Can I get an amen there? You know, I know a lot of people today teaching the body of Christ, don't matter, you can just live any way you want, just live any way you want. But you know, you can't just live any way you want. It does matter how you live. And the blessings and the provision of God are conditional. Wish I had an amen there. They all come by faith. They all come by faith. But let me tell you, God's concerned about how you and I live. Amen. I said amen. And you know, and the Lord, he's the one who sits high, he looks low. But many times, you know, we may be forfeiting something. You may be forfeiting something just by the way you're living. Amen. The best way to inherit the plans and the blessings that God has for you is to do that by faith. And then as a result of your appreciation for all that God has done, you ought to live right. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. In the body of Christ, we have to live right. And Israel, they found this out the hard way. They were trying to confess the blessings of God and the covenant that they had with God. And that was real. They had a blessing. They had a covenant with God. God promised to protect them. God promised to watch over them. God promised to take care of every one of their needs. And he always did that. God even blessed them. Listen now, he blessed them as far as he could, even when they were disobedient. And oftentimes, he'll bless us as far as he can. But I tell you what, he'll bless us the whole way if we'll live right and do what's right and do what's expected. In Israel, they had a covenant. They had a covenant. You remember, he promised them Canaan land. They were supposed to not just cross the Red Sea. They were supposed to march and take Canaan. And they had a covenant to get it. But you know, through their disobedience and through their constant lack of faith and questioning God, you know, they were delayed in receiving. A whole generation had to die out before a new generation came on the scene that would believe and that would obey God to receive what he had for them. Amen? How many of you know God has something good for you? I said, God has something good for you. God's got high expectation for you. Amen? How many know you have a covenant with God and there's nothing the Lord won't do to help you? I said, God wants to help you on the job. God wants to help you in your business. God wants to help you in your family. God wants to give you whatever it is that you need to get to the next level. God is behind you. God wants to give you the strength, the ability, whatever it is you need. But listen, to enforce as a way of us showing our appreciation for all that God has done, listen, we ought to live right. And through Israel's disobedience, they forfeited some of them. You know, God is the one, he led them through right across the Red Sea, he opened up that sea so they could go across on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried it, they drowned. God's the one, he bought them manna. He bought them manna, fresh manna from heaven. God's the one, he bought them water from a rock. God's the one, they were leaving Egypt and the Lord told them to ask the Egyptians for their gold and silver, and they plundered the Egyptians, and the Egyptians gave them gold and silver. They left there blessed. And the Bible said there was not one feeble person among them. And in their disobedience, though they were disobedient to God, though they wandered in the desert 40 years, God said, still your shoes didn't wear out. I was still blessing you as far as I could. But why get a blessing from the Lord, which is as far as he can give us, when he wants us to have the whole enchilada? I said, God wants us to have the whole thing. Amen. And so God did give a special advantage. He gave a special advantage, and he'll give the special advantage to the person that's living right, that's doing right. Amen. Deuteronomy 7, 9, John 14, 21, they all remind us of this. And it reminds us that, hey, how we live is important. So God will give a special advantage to you and I if we'll do right. Do the right thing, you'll find God giving you a special advantage. In this case, Israel didn't get it. Why? They weren't living right. But as they repented, God had mercy on them and went back and saved them and redeemed them and fought for them again. So God gave special advantage. We see that in this chapter. Number one, God gave special advantage. Chapter 1, verse 2. Listen, down there around verse 9, there's my second point here. God gave special appreciation, it says in the Living Bible. Special advantage in verse 2. But we see down around verse 9, God gives special appreciation. I'm going to read you verse 9 from the Living Bible. It says, "Now it happened, God had given the superintendent a special appreciation for Daniel and sympathy for his predicament." What was his predicament? Well, as a slave, then, the Babylonian king had ordered that these boys be fattened up, that these boys be given the best choice meat and food, and these boys be given wine. The king had ordered that they be given things that Daniel and his friends had dietary laws that they followed. And to eat the meat that the king was going to provide was going to make them defile themselves and break those laws that God had given them. And so Daniel was in a pickle. He was in a predicament because now he's a slave. And as a slave, he's going to have to do the Living Bible says a superintendent or supervisor, this guard says this person's in charge of him. But the Bible says this guy had a special appreciation, special appreciation. And you know, God knows how to give you special appreciation. And sometimes people have a special appreciation for you. They're trying to help you. They don't know why they're trying to help you. But I'll tell you what it is. It's because of who you are. It's because of whose child you are. Amen. And God will cause people to give you special appreciation. And this guy, he didn't know why. He just wanted to help Daniel. Just had sympathy for his predicament. Just wanted to help Daniel. And the thing I like about it, Daniel gave him an idea he got from the Lord. And Daniel said, "Listen, you know, we have vegetables and water that we want to eat." Well, that's not a winning formula. If you're trying to fatten somebody up, you wouldn't necessarily feed them vegetables and water. If I just ate vegetables and water, well, I don't say what I look like, but I look a little different if I just ate vegetables and water. But look, what the king had for him was the idea to fatten them up. The king really wanted to make examples out of them. He wanted to really take the best that Israel had and show what the Babylonians have is better than what the God of Israel has. So I'm going to take their choicest men, their best that they have, and I'm going to change their culture, change their names, change their education. Then I'm going to make them serve me in the palace. And it'll prove that everything Israel had is inferior to what we have, what the king was trying to do. And so he said he put him in a 3-year, sent him to Rhema for 3 years. And then 3-year Rhema program right there, you just read it right there. And he said at the end of the 3 years, we're going to check them out. We're going to check out their education. We're going to check out how well trained they are. And then we're going to put them into service in the palace. And so what Daniel says is, listen, I don't want to defile myself. I don't want to defile myself. What he did is he says God gave the superintendent special appreciation for him, and he listened to what Daniel had to say. And what Daniel said essentially was, listen, why don't you test us for 10 days? Just give us vegetables and water. Because the man was saying, look, if the king finds out and you start losing weight, you start looking weak and feeble, he's going to cut my head off for disobeying him. And Daniel said, I don't want that to happen to you. Listen, just feed us vegetables and water and watch what our God does with vegetables and water. Our God can make something happen with some vegetables and water. He'll put weight on us with vegetables and water. I said, God can make a way for you out of no way. God can take what's in your cabinet and stretch it beyond what you thought you could make it to happen. I wish I had an amen in here. I remember sometime my mama would call home and I'd be home from school and she'd say, hey, what's in there to eat, Billy? I'll make something when I get home. I'd look in the refrigerator, I'd look in the freezer, look in the cabinet, come back to the phone and say, nothing. She'd say, oh boy, you don't know what you're talking about. My mom would get home. She'd whip up the best meal. I said, Mom, how did you get this from? She said, boy, you don't know what you're doing.
I think my mom was a little like God. He can take what's in your cabinet today. You can look in your cabinet and say, I don't think we're going to make it through the end of the month. But if you'll trust God, you'll come out ahead at the end of the month. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, God can take what you have today and it don't look like it's enough. But when God gets done stretching what you have, you'll make it through in flying colors. He knows how to give you special appreciation. And the thing I like about it, the key to that special appreciation is really found, you know, we quoted verse 9, but the key to it is really found right there in verse 8. Daniel made up his mind not to eat the food and wine given to them by the king. I like that. Daniel had a made up mind. We see in this chapter that God was orchestrating things. What we just read in verse 1 and 2, God calls the Jewish king. He calls the Jewish king to fall under the hands of the Babylonian king. God let that happen. And then here we see Daniel, verse 8, he made up his mind he wasn't going to defile himself. I'm sure he's asking himself, I don't know how it's going to happen. Our dietary laws require vegetables and water. And I'm sure when he got to Babylon, there wasn't a lot of things he saw that he could eat there. You understand what I mean? You know, I remember one of my roommates in college, Nathaniel Shudrick. He was a Orthodox Jew. And Nate would leave campus before Sabbath every week. He'd go home. His father was a rabbi. And then he would translate the Hillel service in Yiddish. He would do that every week. And, you know, he messing around with Nate. He showed me how to shop kosher. And we'd go down to the kosher bakery and get pizza, or we'd go get a knish, or he'd show me in the grocery store how to shop kosher out of a grocery store. And it was all fascinating. He was fascinated. You know, I was newly born again and he was fascinated by things. And so he came to he wanted to come spend the night at my house. And so he told me, he said, look, man, I have to eat kosher food. And I said, I don't know of anything my mama make going to be kosher. You can come on, my mama can work miracles. You come on, I'll call her and tell her. I remember I called my mama. I said, Mama, bring somebody home. She said, okay, I'll prepare the extra bedroom, Billy, and I'll see you when you get here. I said, but Mom, wait, my roommate, he's Jewish, and he has to eat kosher. And she said, oh, what does that mean? And I said, I tell you what, Mom, he and I will buy some things. We'll bring them home, but they have to be cooked a certain way. They have to be cooked with certain utensils. They have to be cooked with different pots and different plates. And I said, whatever we don't have, we'll get it and bring it home. My mom said, okay, we'll work it. She did too. She made him a kosher meal. We bought the stuff in. She made a kosher meal. And but certain things, silverware, to make it kosher, it had to go in the freezer. We had to do all kind of little stuff. But he didn't find a whole lot at my house that he could eat that was kosher. And I remember what shocked my mind the next year. The next year I was living with some Christian guys, and he went to live off campus somewhere too. And the first day of school, I remember I walked in the cafeteria and I saw Nate down in the cafeteria. He'd never gone to the cafeteria, wasn't kosher. He didn't set foot in the cafeteria. The Rutgers Commons, you know, big place. He wouldn't set foot in there. Nothing in there was kosher. I went in there the first day, and there was Nate sitting down there eating a greasy bowl of French fries. I read in the Riot Act. I went down there, I said, man, what are you doing? I said, there's nothing kosher in here. You're eating French fries. That ketchup's got gelatin in it. Man, what are you doing? And he had had a faith crisis. What are you saying? I'm saying God knows how to give you a special advantage, and God knows how to give you special appreciation, but it's going to take you having a made-up mind. The key to this whole chapter is verse 8. Daniel made up his mind first. I'm not going to defile myself. And everything that happened in this chapter happened as a result of him making up his mind. He was going to live for God no matter what. He was going to serve God no matter what. He was going to do the right thing no matter what. He was going to follow God's expectations no matter what. And I tell you, the blessings of God will flow to you and I if we first will start with a made up mind. Somebody said, well, if I take that job, I don't know how I'm going to live for God. There's such an ungodly atmosphere, such an ungodly atmosphere. Listen, just have a made up mind that you're going to do it.
If you'll make up your mind to serve God and to follow God and to obey God, it starts with a made up mind. But when he finds a woman with a made up mind, when he finds a man with a made up mind, God will enforce all of his covenant to that person. God will give his attention, his time, his power. God will open doors from heaven. God will open doors in this earth when he finds one person with a made up mind. We got too many people with shaky minds today. You can say flaky mind. Too many flaky mind folk. Folk don't know. Well, you know, okay, maybe I'm going to live for God. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm going to compromise. Maybe I'm not. No, we need a made up mind for Christ. But if you'll have a made up mind, you'll find God will make a way out of no way. Somebody said, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Hey, when you have a made up mind, then God will make the way. God will open up the door. You know, at skating all those years as a kid, I lived on roller skates when it wasn't baseball or football season. Especially loved baseball, but baseball, football, basketball, you know, when those seasons weren't going on in our neighborhood, we lived on skates. Back then it was the roller derby. We followed the roller derby and Jim the King Trotter and Liver Lip Lester Quarles and Judy Arnold and all those people, they were folk heroes to us. And the local roller derby circuit would come through Trenton. We'd be there every time cheering on our team. But, then at the skating rink, we'd be down there and we spent, I just can't tell you them. Growing up as a kid, Friday nights, then for a long time, we switched to Saturday night. Down there at the Cap. You could find me at the Cap. You know what the Cap was? It was the Capitol Roller Skating Rink on Laylor Street in Trenton, New Jersey. And down there at the Cap, the first 30 minutes, they'd play just like organ music. But after the first 30 minutes, then they'd play some disco music and we'd get down there and we'd be down there on, we'd all, and you have to do it. You all have to do the same step, you know? So we'd be down there like that and we'd be down. And the skating rink just packed. And so, the flow of the people moving is just, you know, it's just a ton of people. They're all in a thrall and you're skating in the midst of people. So you have to skate to someone and then you move around that way and then you skate here and you move around that way. And you know, you got all your boys with you. So there's 10 people doing it. Maybe there's 10 groups and those 10 groups might have 3 to 5 people. We're all dancing. And then the rest of the people, they're just skating. They're just in our way. So what are you saying? So oftentimes I'd lead that group and people would often ask when they wanted to learn, hey, how do I dance on those skates? How can you dance so fast in a crowd like that? And how can you get through all those people? What do you do to get through those people? People always ask me that. And you know what I'd say? I'd say you just have to be committed. You just skate like nobody's there. And when you get right up on them, something will open up and you just step right through it. You skate at them full speed. You're just coming at them full speed. They're coming at you like that, and you find the open door, and you move, and just step right through. And the guys behind you, they all step through too. But I said, you have to be committed. You don't even worry about that. You just get right up on there. You go full speed. You have to be committed to it. You get right up on there, and then you find an open door and go right through it. But I want to tell you something. When you have a made-up mind, you may not see how God's going to do it. You may not see how God's going to open the door. You may not see how God's going to make a way. But if you have a made-up mind, I wish I had a bigger amen in here. If you have a made-up mind to pay tithes and give your offerings, if you have a made-up mind to do what God told you to do, if you have a made-up mind to live, I wish I had a bigger amen in here. God will make a way for you. I've told you, I remember years ago, working for a Thrifty Car Rentals World Headquarters and newly promoted into management. And me and another sister, she was a Rhema student. We had to go to the Christmas party. We had to go to the Christmas party. And I'll never forget that first Christmas party we went to because, man, them people, they were getting sloshed. They were getting drunk. They were drinking. And I mean, we're walking around there thinking, man, somebody's trying to, hey, Bill, here, have a cup of that. You're like, I don't want that. Here, buddy, have a beer. We walk around there thinking, how can we even survive in this party? But you know what? We had a made up mind. Yeah. Just because they drinking, I ain't going to drink. That's right. I said, how did you get through? I went and tested something. I told you they had food down there. I ate something. It looked to me like a hush puppy. You know what it was? A bourbon ball full of bourbon. Spit that out. And I had a made up mind. I ain't drinking nothing. I never forget vice president, the next manager's meeting we had after that Christmas party, the vice president called us all in. She said, we have made a terrible, terrible mistake. I said, look, we really had nothing but alcohol to drink at our Christmas party and made Bill and this other person come. And they're Christians. They don't drink. And I said, we just put them in a terrible predicament. Didn't have a thing to offer them. So then watched them walk around all night, people offering them drinks. She said, it'll never happen again. She said, we owe you our apology. She said, and it didn't. That next Christmas party, they went overboard. They swung the pendulum back the other way. They had people looking for me. Hey, we got water here. We got all kind of things. There's nothing. They've got to cook. There's no alcohol in that. Yeah, you. They were looking for me. But I had a made up mind. I was not going to defile myself with what they were drinking. And I tell you, when a Christian has a made up mind, look out. Some doors from heaven are going to open for you. You show God that you got a made up mind and he'll open a door for you. You said, I need the Lord to bless me financially. Hey, show him you got a made up mind. God knows how to give you a special advantage if you live right. He knows how to give you special appreciation if you have a made up mind. I tell you another thing he'll give. He'll give special ability. Special ability, it says in the Living Bible. So where are you getting that down around verse 17? Verse 17 of Daniel chapter 1. Special ability. God gave those four youths great ability to learn. And they soon mastered all the literature and science of the time. And God gave to Daniel special ability in understanding the meanings of dreams and visions. Oh, let me tell you this. Our Father, he will give you special ability. And let me tell you this, we're all his children, and he doesn't leave any of us out. And I believe this, he gives each of us a special ability in some area. You may have a special ability to contribute in the ministry of helps. You may have a special ability. God gives you a special ability there to greet or to usher or to work in the nursery or to serve your brothers and sisters in some capacity at this church. God will equip you. He will anoint you. He will give you a special ability. And if you sit on it, you're going to have to answer to him about that now. Because he gives us special ability so that we'll use it. He doesn't want to give you and I special ability, then we sit down like a bump on a log. He gives us special ability and says, now get busy using that. I believe folk out in the parking lot, they have a special ability. Amen. But God gives us special ability. He gave them, listen, in every area, did you see what it said there, verse 17? Literature, science. God gave Daniel the ability to understand the meanings of dreams. Listen, you would think he just gave them special ability in the things of the word. He gave them special ability in learning and education and the things of that. He gave them special ability. And let me tell you, if he was giving it then, he's giving it now. I said, if he was giving it in Daniel chapter 1, he's giving it tonight. The question is, can he find somebody with a made up mind? God, he'll give you special ability down there on the job. You may not know how to make things work. You may not know how to achieve the productivity level you have to get. You may not know how to do everything you've got to do, but if you'll look to him, he'll give you a special ability to do it. God will help you. It doesn't matter where. Where do you work? What is your responsibility? What do you have to do? God will give you special ability if you'll look to him and trust him. Daniel, these boys, they didn't get it on their own. God gave it to them. He gave them special ability, and he'll give that to you. Then finally we see he gave them a special appointment. You say, where do you get that down at verse 21? I'll read from 18 down through the reading Living Bible again. When the 3-year training period was completed, the superintendent brought all the young men to the king for oral exams, as he had been ordered to do. And King Nebuchadnezzar had long talks with each of them, and none of them impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they were put on his regular staff of advisors. And in all matters requiring information and balanced judgment, the king found these young men's advice 10
times better than that of all the skilled magicians and wise astrologers in his realm. And Daniel, finally, verse 21, Daniel held this appointment as the king's counselor until the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. God's got special appointment. I said, God's got a special advantage for you if you live right. He's got a special appreciation. He'll cause people to give you special appreciation, special favor to you if you'll have a made-up mind. God's got special ability for you. Whatever capacity of your work or whatever capacity of your service, God's got special ability. And finally tonight, God's got special appointment, special appointment. Daniel and his friends, they were elevated. They were given choice positions, choice jobs in the kingdom. And the very thing that the Babylonian king was trying to make happen, he was trying to prove that the people of Israel were not as skilled, were not as good, were not up to par, were not up at the same level as the Babylonian culture. And God proved them wrong, because when God gave them all of that special ability, when God gave them all that special appreciation, when God gave them all that special advantage, hey, when God gave them the special appointment, what the king found out after 3 years is that they were 10 times smarter. They weren't just smarter than the average bear. They were 10 times smarter. And let me tell you this, if God was making his people smarter back then in that day, God's making his people smarter today. And if we'll seek him and ask God for wisdom, ask God to help us, God will give you wisdom. He'll make you smarter than they are. He'll make you smarter than the people around you. And if we don't get the big head, if we'll know who did it, and if we'll know who to give the credit to, then God will be able to bless us and make us smarter. And we'll be able to say, hey, it wasn't me. God gave me that ability. God gave me that strength. God gave me that divine knowledge that I needed to get to the next level. And if we'll look to him and have a made-up mind like Daniel, because the key to all of these things that the Lord did started with a made-up mind. They didn't know how they were going to do it. They didn't know how they were going to get through it. They didn't know what it was going to be like 500 miles from home, going there as slaves. They didn't know how it was going to work out, but all they had, a made-up mind. I'm going to serve him like there's no tomorrow. I'm going to serve him with all of my strength. I'm going to serve him even if nobody around me serves him. I'm going to serve him when it's time to pay my tithe. I'm going to serve him when it's time to help in the church. I'm going to serve him. Whatever it is the Lord gives me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to serve him. I've got a made up mind. Somebody said, what if nobody else goes? I'm still going. What if everybody else compromised? I'm still going to serve him. A made up mind will bring you the victory every time. Father, we've endeavored to share with your people this message from Daniel chapter 1, and we see the power that you need for us to make up our mind, to make up our mind. Oh, and Father God, I know that you want to help everybody here in some way, in some capacity tonight. Some of them, Father God, you're trying to get a special advantage to. Some people here, you want to get special appreciation. You want someone to grant them favor in some area. Somebody else needs to know that they've got special ability from you. Still, somebody else needs to know that you've got a special appointment for them. Father God, we look to you tonight, and these are your people. And so speak to them and help them in whatever capacity that they need it. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the glory, to give you the honor. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye still closed, you may be here tonight. And before we go tonight, you may need to make up your mind about something. It may be to give your life to God. Maybe you haven't had a made up mind about that. And as a result, you've been waffling back and forth. And you've not given your life to Christ. Haven't made up your mind. Anybody here like that tonight? You say, Brother Bill, pray for me, because I'm gonna make my mind up tonight. Just lift your hand and wave at me if that's you. Anybody here like that? I'm gonna tonight. Yes, I see your hand. I'm gonna make my mind up. I'm gonna live for God. I'm gonna ask him with a made up mind. Just lift your hand and wave at me if you're here. Still others, you may be here tonight, and maybe you've given your life to Jesus. Oh. But you've begun to compromise in some areas. and you know it, you know it. God knows it. You're not living right. And you're seeing there's not a full flow of God's power in your life. There's not a full flow of answers to prayer in your life. You're seeing that you have things that are just unlimited as far as God can bless you. But you're saying tonight, I've got a made up mind. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to live for God. Wave your hand at me. I want to give my life to Christ. Yes, I see your hand. I want to make it right. Just wave your hand at me. I'm going to pray for it. Yes, praise God. I'm going to make it right. I've got a made up mind. I see your hand. Thank you. I want your help, Lord. I want your help. God needs one thing from you. He needs a made up mind. I want you to do something for me. You just raised your hand on either of those two invitations. I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Just boldly. You got a made up mind. Just boldly. Stand up right where you are. Just stand up right now. Stand up right. That's right. Stand up right where you are. Yeah. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. Going to do just what I said. Just step right out. Step right in the aisle. Come right down here. Don't want to embarrass you at all. Come down here. I want to pray for you. Yeah. Oh, man. Something's getting ready to change in your life. Just come right out of your seats. You had your hand up. I just want you to step right up. Come right on down here. Your hand was up. Oh, God can help people with a mate. Just come right over here toward me. I'm sorry. Come right over here. God bless you. Thank you for coming down here. Hey, sir. Praise God. God bless you. Come right on down here. You know God's dealing with you. You want God's help. Yeah. Come on. That's right. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. All right. You want God to help you. But God wants to know that you're sincere. Oh, and with a made up mind. Listen, I want you to lift one hand to heaven. You know what you're saying by that? God, I'm coming to you for help. No man can help me. I'm coming to you. Come on. That's all right. I'm coming to you for help. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to do just what I said. Praise God. That's all right. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to do just what I said. Just lift one hand to the Lord. That's right. Father, you see these honest hearts, honest souls. And Father, we pray for them now through the mighty name of Jesus that you'll touch them, help them. Father God, strengthen them. That's all right. Come on. You'll strengthen them and help them in the name of Jesus. Just want you to lift a hand to the Lord. Just want you to say this after me. Say this prayer after me. Father. Praise God. All right. Praise God. Amen. Father, in the audience, say it with me again. Father, we come to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. I surrender control of my life to you right now tonight. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I make up my mind to serve you fully. To walk with you completely. You said that if I would ask you to come in, Lord Jesus,
if I said Jesus' name, to come in my heart,
that you would come in. And so I believe right now that you've come into my life, that you have forgiven me and restored me, and my mind is made up to follow you, to walk with you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father God, for blessing every single one of them tonight. We just honor you. Thank you, Father, for giving every single one what they need. This is Associate Pastor Bob here to my left, to your right. He's going to take you to a place of prayer, and people are going to make sure that you get everything you came for. But I can promise you this, you're not going to leave the way you came. And because of your made-up mind tonight, God's going to help you immeasurably. He's going to help you immeasurably. Turn right this way, sir. Praise God. God's going to help you immeasurably. Amen. Come on. Let's give him a big hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Just point your hands toward them. Father, we thank you for every single person going to the prayer room. We thank you for all of our prayer room workers as well. We thank you, Father, you give them special wisdom and ability, Father God. And we thank you for everybody going to that prayer room, Father God. You're helping them tonight. You're giving them special advantage, special appreciation, special ability, and special appointment. Thank you for those who are being saved for the first time tonight, Father God. And thank you for that person just giving their life back to Christ as well. Father, we honor you and bless you. And thank you for all of these. And thank you for helping them. In Jesus' name, amen. My brother and sister, whatever you need the Lord to do for you, God needs one thing from you. He needs you to have a made up mind.
You'll make up your mind no matter how crazy our world gets, no matter how much compromise you see around you. Make up your mind, not you. You're going to live for Christ and serve him fully. Stand up on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord before we go. Now, before you do that, I'm sorry, put your hand down just 1 second. Some of you are here for the first time. Wave at me. It's your first time tonight. Just wave. Okay, listen, our connection team members are going to take you to a place to give you a gift on behalf of our pastors and the church family. We're going to give you a good gift tonight. So let's thank all these that it's their first time tonight. Let's thank them again. They're not going to keep you long. They're not going to keep you long. They're going to give you a gift on behalf of our pastors in the church. Just bless you. We just want to bless you for coming. And the rest of you, now lift one hand to the Lord. Father, we thank you now. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory and power forever and ever. Father, bless us and keep us. Protect us. Protect all those in Oklahoma City. Guard them. Keep them. Father, give them safety as they travel. And Father God, thank you for giving us all safety as we go home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, as a result of the new changes that Pastor and Mrs. Hagen have led us in, I think I still see some daylight out there almost. So you're going to be able to go out there and still see your car, see where your car is. So, all right. All right. Well, listen, have a made-up mind. God bless you. We'll see you next time.